get your Bibles, okay, and go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Now, for those of you just getting started, and there's some of our folks are, flip through your Bible until you find red letters. When you find a bunch of red letters, you'll be either Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. So you're not far off. Did you find it?
I've got red letters this time. My other Bible didn't.
Oh, now you have red letters. John chapter 8 is where we're going to start. John chapter 8. Now we'll give everybody a chance to get there. Those who have handheld electronic internet devices have cheated and are already there. But we accept everybody here. Yes. All right. We're not in any rush. John chapter 8. While you're getting there, and we're all getting focused on John 8, I didn't tell you mine, and I usually, if I'm not going to be the first to get started, I want to include myself in the deal. If somebody asked me today, said, why'd you come today? After the mess I made of my life, and after the way people treating me like you've treated me, how could I stay away? I mean, now they're, and again, we're not talking about anybody else but us, right? But there were other folks and other places that didn't accept, didn't forgive, didn't want. And when I found folks like you that would accept and forgive and love and help, where else would I be, right? I had to be here. And I'm glad we had a chance to breathe that out so that we now can breathe this in. Because honest folks, it's not about why we're here. It's not about why we wanted to be here. It's about why Jesus wants us to be here. Right? Isn't that what matters most? Because what causes me to want to be here may change. Somebody may hurt my feelings. Or we may not have a Bible class teacher next door. Or I may not be feeling too well. So there's all kinds of reasons that can distract us, all kinds of things that can keep us from wanting to be here. Unless we decide we're going to be here for the reason Jesus wants us to be here. Now, those of us who've been sitting together for the last several years, you know this is the first month of a new year, and you know what we study. Every year, I just make it a habit of reminding us that Jesus has more interest in us being His disciples than He does our name being on a church membership roll. You know I love the church. You know I love the church. You know I love the brotherhood. You know that. I don't just say it. I practice it. But you know what I mean when I say church house membership roll. Jesus wants us to be His disciples. After Jesus was baptized, after Jesus fought Satan for 40 days, the first words out of His mouth were, follow me. That's what Jesus wants everybody sitting in this room to do, to follow me. Follow. Jesus says, follow me. Now, I need to know from you real quick, and it'll give my voice a bit the rest. Tell me why. What was Jesus' interest? Why did He want them to follow Him? What was the point of that? Matthew, I want you to follow me. Peter, Andrew, James, John, I want you to follow me. Why did He want them to follow Him? I'll let you answer. And if you don't answer, it'll take a long time. Why?
To learn how to live, how to treat people.
All right, to learn how to live, to learn how to treat people. Just watching Jesus, you would have learned some things about how to control your impulses, how to resist temptation, how to care for lepers. Yeah. Why?
Mm-hmm. To show how God it really is, so they would know how God. Because Jesus loved God so much that He wanted to show them.
All right, so Jesus wanted them to see God and to learn what God was really like. Excellent, Brian.
It's the only way.
It's the only way. In fact, He'll say, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And nobody gets to the Father Except or but by me. Right. I saw another hand.
I think he wanted them to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was the Christ.
He wanted them to know that he was the one that God had promised would come and do what? The Christ that would come and do what? Take away the sins of the world and make it possible for every one of us to get from where we're sitting now to where he sits now. Right? He wants to take us from this place to that place. He wants to take us from this chair to his throne. So how do we get there? You follow him. That's the answer. You follow Jesus. Now, daughter, what were you going to say?
I don't know.
And I might be probably wrong.
But I don't know. I think he also would have them follow him so that they'd be able to teach others.
You get an extra donut. All right? And usually folks that get an extra donut just go get and get it, Darla. So feel free, you know. All of that's involved. In fact, folks, what he wants to do, he wants us to teach us how to learn to live. He wants us to teach us how God sees us. He wants to teach us how to treat other people. He wants us to know how to treat our own bodies and how to deal with our own weaknesses. He wants us to share that with other people along the way. And ultimately, he wants us to come home, right? And all of that can take place if we follow him, right? So just bound up in that word, Jesus said, I want you to be my disciple. I want you to follow me. Now we've done it. There's some of us sitting in here that have done this so often, you're going to jump right to the answer. But we're still going to do the work because until we live it, we haven't really learned it, right? We're not talking about taking a test. I'm not talking about passing a church membership requirement. I'm talking about let's learn to live like Jesus. Until we do that, we have not learned it. So when he uses the word disciple, what does he mean? What does he mean by disciple? Sometimes in the Bible, the word is actually translated student. Now be real honest. In our culture, in our world, when you read the word student, when you hear the word student, what do you think? Somebody that sits and listens to a lecture. Somebody that does what? Keep going. Define student in our culture. You write papers, take tests. Let's focus on taking the test for a second. Tell me, how did you take the test? Well, how did you prepare to take the test? You crammed the night before, and this is from a master student, right? You crammed the night before, take the test, and do what? Are we on the same page here or what? You know, you heard that in stereo. Now, with that first group, you know, the first group that meets, the first meeting, they're a little on the special ed side, and we have to kind of take care of them, and they're not quite as bright as you folks. I hope they don't listen to this podcast. But I asked, I wanted to prove it to them. I said, you don't think that you forgot all that stuff that you studied when you were a kid? Go to Barnes & Noble and get you a GED workbook and try to pass the GED test. I couldn't. I'm glad I have my diploma because I couldn't go back and get one, right? Now the point is this, folks. That's what we've done in church. We've done the same things in church. We've gone to Sunday school. We've gone to Bible school, vacation Bible school. We've gone to Christian colleges and we've gone to schools of preaching. And we've taken volumes of notes. We've asked millions of questions. We've passed tons of tests. And what have we learned? I know some facts, don't you? I know some details. Those are all good. I got nothing, no problem with details. But Jesus didn't call me to know facts. Jesus didn't call me to pass tests. Jesus called me to be like him. And that's what a disciple is. It's somebody who becomes like him. Now you got to be a student to get there. But what kind of student was it? Yeah, there's the word. We've used it before. We need to use it a lot. He wants us to become his apprentice. He wants us to become like him. Now, what's the difference between an apprentice and a student? on the job training. Jesus wanted us, wanted them, and therefore wants us to learn from Him, to listen to Him, to learn what He has to say, but then to do what? To do it, to imitate, to put to practice, put into practice what He's taught us. That's what an apprentice does. Now, it's easier to say today because my mind's focused this way, and I'd like to live this way, but I don't always do it. So I'm saying it now, and hopefully it'll help me do it better in the future. That's why I'm here. I want to be a disciple of Jesus. But it's not just what I want to do on a Sunday. It's what I want to do if there's a Monday. I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I want to be somebody that listens to Him, learns from Him, lives like Him. Listens to, learns from, lives like. I want to be that kind of person, right? Now that's not theory. That's not theology. That's really, if you're at a point where you're trying to rebuild your life, that's the most fundamental building block. Go back to that one. Quit worrying about what they say. Quit worrying about what they say, and you start to think about what Him says, right? Listen to, learn from, live like Him. Now, in John, the Gospel of John, He gives three statements. There are three statements where He says, this is what it's going to take to be a disciple. I'm going to let you find them, because if we don't earn it, we won't learn it, right? But I'll give you a chapter because of time frame. Somebody invited me to lunch, and so I don't want to be here all day. All right? John chapter 8. I'll give you the chapter, but you've got to find the verse. John chapter 8, in that chapter, Jesus says, here's what it takes to be a disciple. Go ahead.
I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.
All right, now, but you didn't use the word disciple. So, Jennifer, that's a good verse. No. No, sorry. That's a good verse. But I want you to look for the word disciple. I want us to be very specific. Brian.
If you hold my teachings, you're really my disciple.
Ah, what verse so everybody can read with you? Look in 31 and 32. John chapter 8, 31 and 32. Now, Brian, read it real loud.
To the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
All right, hold to my teaching. Now, we're reading from different Bibles. Give me another way to say that. Hold to His teaching, or
if you abide in my word.
Abide in His word, or
obey,
or continue. You got all, remain faithful. All of those are bound up in that word. So He wants us to hold the word. He wants us to continue in the word. He wants us to live the word. What's the difference between what this word means and what my practice has been in my life? Now, you can't know that, so don't be answering for me. Don't be confessing my sins. I'll do that, but you tell me yours. What's the difference between what Jesus is saying right here than about what you've done in your church life?
Discipline.
What's the difference?
Well, in some churches that I've been to, instead of holding on to His word, they want you to hold on to their word, making it seem like Jesus told them their word, and their word is a whole different type of meaning.
Okay. So, maybe we've let somebody convince us to hold on to their word instead of His word. So what's the difference between hold, live, continue, abide?
It's constant. It's not like a New Year's resolution that you're going to start and give up.
It's a constant. It's not just a New Year's resolution. Now, hang on a second. Let's use that as the illustration. New Year's resolution forever in my life. Forever in my life was to read the whole Bible through in a year. I think it was probably in my DNA. Or it was something in the water at Sudan. It was just one thing you did. Every New Year's Eve you made a resolution. In the New Year I'll read the Bible, whole Bible through. That is a good resolution. That is a good resolution. That you can't. It's a good thing to read God's Word. Do you hear me? But we're not talking about resolutions. We're not talking about reading the whole Bible through in a year. We're talking about holding on to the words of Jesus in a way that will cause us to become disciples. But here was my problem with that. I decided I was going to read the whole Bible through in a year. So I would start, and I would start hot and heavy, man. I'd read Genesis, and I'd read Genesis 1 through 4. And then I'd get to chapter 5. And so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so. Their mothers couldn't even pronounce those names, man. And I'd start reading in chapter 6, and that's about the flood. And I kind of dug that stuff, man. Light them up, God. And he would rain and build an ark and the animals coming in. I loved that story. And then there was a rainbow in the sky, and it was wonderful. And then so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so. And by the second or third set of begats and begats and begats, I was done. So I think, okay, I can't read the Old Testament. I'm going to just turn to the New Testament. So I turned to Matthew chapter 1. And those of you who are laughing know exactly what's in Matthew 1. Those of you who are now laughing are doing it because you think I have no idea what they're talking about and I'm supposed to laugh though. Matthew chapter 1 is the same so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so. So guess what I would do? I'll wait till next year. I want you to read your Bible. I want you to read your Bible through in a year. That'd be great. That's a great thing. There's something good happens to you when you discipline yourself where you can read every day and get through the Bible in a year. It's a great, great exercise. It is. That's not what we're talking about. This is not talking about how much you read. This is about talking about what you read and what you consider and putting it into practice. What is the difference between the workout that I will begin, that I'm beginning in 2013? What's the difference between me working out in 2013 and an Olympic athlete getting ready for the next Olympics in gymnastics? What's the difference?
The training.
There's a training. What's the difference?
It's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle. Ooh, training and lifestyle. What's the difference? Give me one more. One is a commitment. If I happen to wake up and I have this kind of stuff, not just in my throat, but in my head and in my chest, what will I say about my workout? It would probably be better for me not to work out, right? What does a gymnast do? Works out anyway. They are focused on becoming what they need to be to gain that reward. You hear any bells clanging? Any lights flashing? This is Jesus' workout plan, y'all. The reason we're to read these words, the reason we're to study these words, the reason we're to meditate on these words, the reason we're supposed to practice these words is so that we can become like Jesus. That's His intention. Our intention, His intention for us was to become like Him. Now, is that what your Bible reading does? Now, you don't have to confess it, but I'm telling you, mine didn't. Mine didn't. Mine was started early about just saying I was a daily Bible reader. Mine was early on just so I could get through the Bible in a year. Mine early on was so I could pass the tests I was having to take. Mine early on was just so I could have a broad range of Bible knowledge. All of those are good things. I'm not against any of those things. But the reason Jesus said, I want you to continue in my word, is so what would happen? So I'd become like Him. I'd become His disciples. Is that why you're reading your Bible now? And now, I don't know everybody here. We got some fresh faces. But the folks I know here, and you're good enough to share these things with me, most of us are not reading that way. Most of us are reading just to say we've read. Most of us are reading hoping that we'll find something that makes us feel better. And I've got nothing against either one of those. But here's what I want to be. Did you hear me? I want to be this way. Not there yet. I want me to be this way, and I want to be a part of a group of people that when they pick up their Bibles, they read in order to become more like Jesus. Are you doing the Jesus workout? Are you doing the Jesus workout when you read your Bible? Because He's wanting you to read these things, not to just say you've read them, not just so you could quote them, not just so you could put them down as something you believe. No. He wants us to put those things in our hearts, in our lives, put them into practice. So if I'm going to be a disciple, I want to devote myself, and I like the word experience better, I want to experience His Word and take it to heart and live it in my life. I want to listen to Him, learn from Him, be like Him. So to be a disciple, we got to get serious about our devotion and our experience in the Word. Well, I go to church every Sunday. Now, that's true of some of you, but it's not true of most of us. We skip. Now, we don't have any attendance cards, but I know when your chair's empty. I know when you're gone. There's an extra donut or two. In Chad's case, 4 or 5. I saw that haul he had this morning. Point. It's not about church attendance. It's not about having your name on some church house membership roll. It's about being like Jesus. Let's be disciples. Let's devote ourselves to this year. Let's devote ourselves to His Word, to working out in our lives to be like Jesus. All right, now go to John 13. Because He gives us two more of these, and I won't take the time on the other two that I've taken now because of the emphasis for the next few weeks. John chapter 13. Not going to tell you the verse. Look for the word disciple. Look at verses 34 and 35. John 13, 34 and 35. And to save my voice a little bit, tell me, what does Jesus say is required of me if I'm going to be a disciple? And I'm going to let Rex tell us. John 13, 34 and 35.
A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. If you love one another.
So how are men going to know that we're disciples? If we love one another like Jesus loved us. Now, right? Now, hang on. If we're going to let His Word change the way we live, and He says to us, people are not going to know us as disciples unless we love each other, what is required of me as a disciple?
Love.
Now, love whom?
I think, first of all, you have to understand that Jesus loves you.
There you go.
Just as you are.
Jesus loves you and He wants us to love others. Who is the others? Who is the one another?
The people we don't like.
Yeah. If you didn't hear that answer, that is from people we don't like. Yeah, let's be a little bit less specific for a second. At least there were no names given, which is a good thing. That's progress, isn't it? Yeah. Tell me about who are the... Look in that upper room with Jesus. When He says, love one another, who's He talking about? He's talking about the people in that room. He's talking about Peter, Andrew, James. Of course, why would they have any trouble loving each other? Why would they have any trouble loving each other?
They come from different backgrounds.
Oh, no. They were together every day with Jesus, basking in the warmth of His love and glowing in the light of His knowledge. They had like, it was like summer camp for 3.5 years. They sang Kumbaya, held hands. No, they dealt with real life. And guess what happened between those guys? There was fussing. There was jealousy. There was division among those. Now, that would never be true in any church that I know, would you? No. Nobody here ever gets out of sorts with anybody else here, right? Nobody ever gets their feelings hurt. Nobody ever disagrees, but you know that's the truth. Jesus says this. Jesus says, I want you to love each other. That means the folks that are sitting across from you, in front of you, or behind you. The folks that do things that you drive you crazy. The folks that do things that you don't understand. Ooh, we could have some fun with this, couldn't we? Would you like, how real would you like me to be? How honest would you like me to be? You want me to come? Yeah. Just leave it there? Have we learned our lesson? I'll leave it at that, but we're coming back to it. God help us. There'll be a day coming in the next few weeks where we're going to work this out. We're going to work it. We're going to have a Jesus workout on loving each other. But Jesus says that's how you become a disciple. That's how you become my apprentice. It's not sitting in church. It's not singing the right number of songs and praying the right kinds of prayers. It's not about giving a dollar to the in the basket whether you need it or not. It's not about how many communion you've taken or how many sermons you've amened. It's about taking His Word and putting it into practice in your life and in loving each other. Us. All right, one more, and then I'll hush. Look in John chapter 15. While you're looking for John 15, let's summarize it. If we're going to be disciples of Jesus, we've got to be devoted to. We've got to have an experience with the Word of God. We've got to be devoted to the church, to His body, to the body of Christ, to each other. And we got to John chapter 15. Find the verse. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8 and tell me what is required of somebody who is a disciple. Bear much fruit, my Bible says. And I'm repeating what I heard you say. Now there'll be a day when we do our exercise and we do our workout in here. We're going to work out in this with this verse and with these principles. I'm going to draw the conclusion for us right now. I'll draw the conclusion for us. The simplest, most direct meaning of that. And if you've got questions about it, grab me afterwards. We may have to wait till my voice heals for us to fuss, cuss, and discuss it like we want to. But folks, what he's saying is he wants us to have an influence on other people. He wants us to help other people become what we are. Now, that's not just talking about a church membership role page. That's talking about helping people come from where they are to become what God wants them to be. It talks about helping people become disciples of Jesus. Now the word I'm going to give that to kind of help me keep it in my mind is lost folks. Folks that haven't found Jesus. Folks that are, like some of us were, wandering around out there in the dark, making a mess of stuff, and then somebody found us, loved us, accepted us, shared teachings from Jesus with us, helped our faith grow. We just made the decision to obey Jesus, and then we learned to walk with Him. What Jesus requires of those of us who are going to be disciples is not our bottoms here on a chair for church. He requires of us that we be devoted to His Word, that we be devoted to His body, and that we be devoted to the lost. What would happen in your life? What would happen in mine? What would happen in this church if a handful of us, just a handful, not even talking about all of us, if a handful of us decided that we were going to devote ourselves to living His Word, devote ourselves to loving each other, and devote ourselves in doing what He did to seek and save the lost? What would happen? Yeah, this is a good time for us to discuss this. We grew up in a culture that says it's New Year's, and so we want a New Year's resolution. How about this resolution? This year. we decided we want to become disciples. This year, we decided we want to really become apprentices of Jesus. This year, we want to do a Jesus workout and do whatever we've got to do to become more like Him. What would happen to us? Tell you what, let's do this. Let's don't make any rash vows. Let's don't make any Sunday school resolutions. I'll do it. Yes, I'll do it. No. Let's just do this. Let's eat this supper now. Let's break this bread. Let's take it, this piece of bread, and remember His body. And that grape juice, remember His blood. And look what He went through for us. And really consider what you're willing to do for Him. All right? We'll do that now.